Good evening, everybody. It's April 20th, and we are glad that you're joining us here at The Hour. I'm Tina Adamopoulos with Celia Gumbiare and Marjan Asadullah. And today, our team will be giving you the lowdown on your latest news, sports, and entertainment, as well as special reports about the worst buildings in East York. In weather, it's 5 degrees and raining outside of our East York studios, and we will be back with the news after this message from our sponsors.
Are you tired of your arms turning ice cold as you reach for your glass of wine? Do you wish you could be warm and eat your snacks? Do blankets stress you out? Introducing the Snuggie. This innovative product incorporates sleeves and blankets to make, wait for it, a blanket with sleeves. Now you don't have to choose between being warm and petting your cats. You can do both. This product is available online.
Welcome back. I'm Celia Gumbiere. Now for the headlines. Housing and rent prices are expected to plummet due to new rules. The Jays are defeated at their home game this afternoon, and Serena Williams announces pregnancy on Snapchat. The housing and rent prices are expected to decrease with the new reforms made by the Ontario government today. The Premier of Ontario, Kathleen Wynne, announced that they will be enforcing 16 changes, of which includes putting taxes on homes bought by immigrants in Toronto and Greater Golden Horseshoe, encourage building more condos by discounting the cost of apartment constructions, and ensuring that residents will have regulated lease documents. The price of buying detached houses in Toronto costs more than $1 million. These new rules are made to curb the housing prices of larger cities. Now on to Tina with the latest in sports.
The Jays suffered a 4-1 loss in their home game against the Boston Red Sox this afternoon. The Jays defeated the Red Sox in a 3-0 win yesterday. They play in Los Angeles tomorrow at 10 o'clock. In hockey, the Leafs suffered a 5-4 loss to Washington Tuesday. They will head to Washington tomorrow for Game 5, and they hit the ice at 7 o'clock. In basketball, the Raptors will take on the Milwaukee Bucks at an away game today. They defeated the Bucks at a 106-100 win on Tuesday. The game starts at 8 o'clock. And now here is Marjan with the latest buzz in entertainment.
In entertainment news, tennis star Serena Williams confirms pregnancy rumors after posting a Snapchat photo showing her baby bump on Wednesday. The 35-year-old world champion is 20 weeks into her pregnancy, which means she was pregnant when she won the Grand Slam title at the Australian Open in January of this year. Williams is expecting her first child with fiancé Alexis Ohanian, the co-founder of Reddit. The pair have been together for nearly 2 years. Up next, an in-depth segment on the worst buildings in East York. Us here at The Hour have conducted a special investigative report speaking with tenants, building managers, and CEO of property management, and we will take you through what we found in our investigative report. So stay tuned.
Want to know how Gigi Hadid keeps up with her busy lifestyle and still looks good? Maybelline's new lightweight Dream Cushion Liquid Foundation, available at your nearest Shoppers Drug Mart. You too can be red carpet ready all day, every day.
Hello again, everybody. I'm Tina Adamopoulos with Celia Gumbiare and Marjan Asadullah, and you're listening to At The Hour from our East York studios. On this segment of At The Hour, we will be discussing the new City Tenant Protection Bylaw. The city's new tenant protection bylaw comes into effect July 1st and sets out to put pressure on landlords to comply with property standards. As a special report, we went into some of the worst buildings in East York, speaking to tenants and the CEO of property management to get to the root of the issue. I spoke to Robbie Hamilton, resident of 1501 Woodbine Avenue. Fighting for her tenant rights, she has been a part of meetings at City Hall with property management and her local city councillor, Janet Davis. Let's hear a little bit of Robbie's story.
We've had meetings with MedCap. We've had meetings with MRAB and MLS and MedCap. We've had a couple of meetings over at Stan Wadlow.
With Janet Davis.
Lists are made, things are discussed, and it's sometimes some things get done. but it is so slow. And sometimes they just nod and shake their heads and say, yes, we'll do that. And it doesn't get done.
I believe in one of the meetings, Janet Davis said just to continue calling 311.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a solution?
That's not a solution. Okay. Now, some of it can get turned around and tied back to, we're frustrated with calling 311. We're frustrated with work orders getting opened and then closed without being resolved, like that silly tap, which is not a big thing. But dealing with it for the last 3.5 years, I take care of it. If it was my house and not an apartment that I'm renting, I would have gone out, purchased a tap, and either installed it myself or had a plumber install it, and just be done with it. It's not a big deal. But they don't seem to be willing to do it. Some of the frustration, and one of the biggest problems in the building, is various creepy crawlies, bed bugs, cockroaches. And you can't effectively treat for bed bugs and cockroaches on a unit by unit basis. You have to do block treatment to be effective. And if the building is really badly infested, you have to do the whole building. I've had them in here twice to do the cockroach treatment. And it took, the first time, they said, empty all of your cupboards. It took hours. I emptied all the kitchen cupboards out. They came in and they put a couple of squirts of this brown gel into the corners and the cupboards. And that was it. It was effective for maybe 3 weeks, a month, and then the roaches are back. I can't have heat treatment because it would mean basically clearing myself and my cats out of the apartment for a couple of days to do it effectively. And anyway, if they aren't going to do all the apartments around me and above and below, there's no point.
Mm-hmm.
So I use a perimeter spray. I put out cockroach baits in places where the cats can't get at them. And I use a fly swatter. And I've gotten pretty good at it.
And again, that was Robbie Hamilton of 1501 Woodbine Avenue. She's a part of her tenants association and has been in meetings with city officials. She is fighting for her tenant rights. Let's talk about this.
So does Robbie feel like she's been let down, Tina?
Well, she's frustrated with calling 311. They seem to have had plenty of meetings, but no satisfying results. I remember her saying that it's come to the point where they're so close to the point of demanding for change instead of sort of asking for it. And calling 311 is not much of a solution if things aren't going to get done.
Right.
And how bad is her situation?
Well, Robbie considers herself one of the lucky ones. Her apartment, besides a leaking tap and a small cockroach problem, for the most part is fine. Her main issue is the balcony. She pays $900 a month for her apartment. Over the course of 4 months, she's been locked out of her balcony due to repairs, and she's lost about $400 in rent because she hasn't been compensated for the balcony since November.
And can you tell us about other tenants? What about them?
It's the miscommunication between them and Metcap. So we'll have more on that after the break as Marjan got into contact with Metcap CEO Brent Merrill, and we will find out what he had to say after the break, so stay tuned.
Giving up smoking is never easy, but it can be easier. The V2 e-cigarette standard kit is available now. 10 flavor cartridges, batteries, and a charger are all included. There's never a better time than now. Stop smoking, start living.
Hello and welcome back. MedCap CEO and President Brett Merrill spoke with me during a phone interview when I asked him about tenant complaints, structural problems, and tenants' lack of communication with MedCap. Let's see what he has to say about it.
Because I've spoken to multiple tenants there, especially a woman named Helen Chalaz, and she spoke about structural problems in the building. I was given a tour by her around the parking lot, the laundromat, and it seems that there is a lot of structural issues, a lack of cleanliness in the building. Can I please get a little bit of information about why it's taking longer than usual to cater to basic needs of tenants?
Well, I had the building walked by someone the other day. They're constantly working to keep the buildings clean, and then, you know, we'll do everything that we can. I mean, Helen calls us every single day, right, about something. So we're trying to always try our best to keep her happy. But someone calling every single day is tough, right? But anyhow, it's Metcalf's policy that the building needs to be clean. And, you know, we're going to make sure it does, and we always make sure it does, okay, so that it will be clean. But that work, so what particular things, you were at the building, you saw that we're working on the balconies, right?
Yeah, she said it's been under construction for 6 months.
How fast does she expect it to happen? It's a major undertaking to do a building of that size and all the balconies. And yes, absolutely, it takes time. We'll probably be working on that balconies till like late summer. It's like a big job, right?
And the parking lot?
And the parking lot, like exterior or interior, you're talking about?
Both.
So what happens on these things is they're doing the balconies, okay? And then they're also doing what they call the shear walls. You know what a shear wall is on a building?
Yeah, she explained it.
Yeah, so it's the shear wall going up and down. So they're going to do the concrete there. So when they have a guy doing concrete on the building, concrete on the shear wall, after they're done that, they're probably going to move to the garage, right? And they're going to do the concrete, and then they're going to paint it. So if the paint's a little bit flaky now, it's because they plan on doing work to that garage. They have it all under, they have it all tendered out, they're contracting it. It's all in process, right? You can see where they already in that garage chipped off a bunch of concrete in order to ensure that it was safe for the people, right? So they took steps to make sure it was safe. They chipped off all the concrete. It's just like the Gardner Expressway. It doesn't look that pretty, but it makes it safer, right? And now they've got to come in and cut out the cement and redo the rebar and do substantially more work, right? But I guess, you know, they want to get the balconies done first because they feel that's the most important, right? And then the next is going to be the garage. The garage has no issue right now on it in terms of safety. It's all fine. The engineer signed off on it. And what they want to do is get the balconies done, and then they're going to move to the garage. We just felt we didn't want to have everybody working everywhere, or it's going to drive the residents absolutely nuts, right? So you've noticed that building is a completely unique building, right? You see the balconies on that building?
Yeah.
There wouldn't be, like, that would be one of, like, probably less than 5 buildings in all of Toronto with balconies built the way that building's built. So it took quite an extensive time to figure out how to fix those balconies, because they are original-type balconies built in the 60s, right? And you cannot get those balconies anymore. We tried so much. The owner wanted to replicate the balcony, right, to be concrete. Well, today's construction, you just cannot get that kind of concrete, you know, railing setup. It's going to be, any engineer is going to improve. We tried everything we could because we didn't want to destroy the nice beauty. You know how they're kind of decorative, those balconies, right? So that took quite a lot of investigation. I would say we were 4 or 5 months at least investigating those railings, right? Trying to figure out a way we could save them. The problem is the blocks on the bottom of the railways are the ones that are, you know, deteriorating, and you have to take the whole rail off and all the blocks in order to fix the ones at the bottom. And we couldn't find anyone that could manufacture or replicate. So then what we did is we kind of gave up on that, and we came up with another solution to kind of keep the feel of the building, that we would put glass up, right? But paint it so that it looked like the blocks were there. And I don't know if you've been to the building recently, but they now have 3 railings up that they're testing that have it's painted decorative thing on the rail that looks like a block. So when you stand back from the building a ways, it kind of looks like the blocks are still there, or at least the decorative element of those blocks are still there, right? So these railings have to all be custom made, and I've never seen in my 20 years of business, and all the buildings we won were the largest independent property manager in Canada, and I never seen a building like this. This is a unique, unusual setup with those balconies.
Despite what the CEO had to say, tenants continue to face challenges and feel frustrated with MedCap.
Well, this is a new tenant protection bylaw, and it's supposed to empower tenants and hopefully make things better for them. What exactly does the bylaw entail?
I'm really glad you brought that point up, because the bylaw enforces changes to how owners and operators run their building. The bylaw will require owners and operators to complete regular inspections in common areas for cleanliness and pests, develop and maintain an operational plan for cleaning and waste management, and owners cannot rent out units to new tenants if their properties issued are not within units. So if the bylaw isn't followed, possible fines could exceed up to $100,000.
Wow, guys, such a coincidence, because the building I investigated, which is 104 Goodwood Park Court at Dawes Road, is also managed by MedCap Living. MedCap was informed by the City of Toronto's Housing Investigative Unit to fix 12 problems in 104 that had to do with holes in ceilings, rotten baseboards, broken cupboards, inadequate heating system, cracks in floors, loosened windows, unfinished bathroom surface covers, and so much more. After reading about these problems, I then visited the building and interviewed a tenant who was willing to talk about his family's living conditions.
Here at 104 Goodwood Park Court, speaking to a family living in an unendurable situation where one of their cupboards in the kitchen is broken, the pipe underneath the sink leaks, large cracks in the floor, and the problems could go on. The family have asked for only their first names to be used. I talked to the tenant, Gary, who says that despite telling the building manager of 104 to fix the problems, nothing was done.
They don't fix nothing in here. Everything's broken. They promise they're going to fix. They don't fix. They lie, they lie, they lie. The city told them to fix. They still ain't fixed nothing. So there you go. We're going to call the city back on them again. They're going to get in some trouble now.
Gary lives in a two-bedroom apartment with his girlfriend and two children. He says he remembered an incident when the toilet broke, but he had to pay a plumber to fix it.
And my kids use a bucket. The man said use a bucket. I don't know where he thinks he's coming from. Use a bucket, he says. We have to call a plumber and pay money out of our pocket. $500-something just to get a toilet fixed. That's not even ours.
A rental company called MedCap Living owns 104 with four other buildings on the street. The company has a standard whereby each building has a property manager and building manager. Both managers of 104 were contacted several times to speak on the issues concerning it, but none of them wanted to talk. On one occasion, while speaking to Boris, the building manager of 104, he hung up on me. This doesn't surprise Gary's girlfriend, Mary, who also had her own unpleasant run-in with Boris.
Very disrespectful to landlord. My toilet broke one time, and he came in, and he basically told me and the people in my home that were stupid, and why did we call him for?
After living in 104 for a year, the family is tired of waiting for things to be fixed in their apartment. Mary says that they will be moving out by the end of this month. Celia Gambieri, Observer Radio News, East York.
I cannot blame the family for wanting to move out. Although their apartment is relatively cheap compared to others in Toronto, the home was in bad conditions.
So wait, you went inside and you took a tour. Can you describe your experience there?
First off, the carpet in the lobby was dirty. The sides were worn out and it had a bit of a white patch on it. Walking into the home of Mr. G and Mary, the floor was improperly tiled, and the white wooden floor baseboards were rotting. Mr. G told me that there was not a day his children didn't get splinters. And the broken window in the master bedroom, I can't imagine what they had to go through during winter.
I think it's what the building manager said to them. Apartments are not perfect. Things get broken, torn, and worn out. But isn't it his job to ensure that those amenities are fixed as soon as possible when reported?
I totally agree with Tina, because the family was told to use a bucket when their toilet broke, and calling them stupid, I wouldn't expect the property manager to conduct himself that way.
I thought the same thing also. So when I spoke to Brent Merrill, the CEO of MedCap Living, he said he was going to personally look into it. He also cleared the misunderstanding of not being able to reach the property manager, Dominic Fazzari. Here's what he had to say.
Okay, so first of all, we're dealing with 500 employees across the country, right? I can't speak to this individual instance, but if you tell me at 104 who it is and what's going on, we'll work on it immediately, right? I mean, you know, two people in a building, I of course we would never condone that, right? Of course, if that did happen, which it's one person saying it happened, if it did happen, I'd like to get the story of my building manager to see if it did happen, but definitely we wouldn't condone that, right? And, you know, we're going to take care of it. That's why we have the helpline, so that if they don't get along with the building manager, they can call the 1-800 number. So, you know, like, why would Metcalf as a company invest to have people answering a helpline, invest in on the website the number's there, in the building the number's there, in every welcome package its number there? Why would we have people sitting by the phone waiting for people to call us and answer their questions and try and resolve their things and invest all that money if we weren't interested in trying to take care of the rest of us? They're our customers, right? That doesn't mean that in a company you might not have one isolated incident where some employee didn't deal with something correctly. Then if it comes to our attention, we'll fix it. That's why the helpline's there. Immediately upon that resident calling the helpline, the property manager will be called and that situation gets straightened out. Into that a little more, right? And I'm going to get you a disposition of it. But so the property manager, that's the guy we spoke to, Dominic, he called the billing manager. They're not aware of any outstanding items in any units there in that particular building. And they also called another guy that's in charge of the complex. And he's not aware of anything outstanding.
Right.
And then I called my helpline. And for the year in 2016, in total, for the whole year, they had 23 calls. I guess from January right till now.
Right.
So, like, that's 15 months, right?
Right. 23 calls.
They're obviously using it, right?
Yes.
They have nothing that's not... There's.
I also spoke to a resident over the phone who told me that he was also moving in the summer because he didn't think the building was neat enough. He also said that there were cockroaches. The resident would like to remain anonymous.
We've been here for over a year now. Probably we'll be moving in the summer. Generally, I don't feel it's a clean building.
Are there any problems in your apartment?
Kind of fortunate that way because when we first moved in, there was, but over time, either they fixed it or I fixed it myself. Laundry facility is terrible.
The laundry system?
Yeah, because sometimes there's only four washers for the whole building, and sometimes only three is working.
Wait, there are only four washers for the building?
Yes, four washers and four dryers in the laundry room, and sometimes only three is working.
It has definitely been an interesting discussion talking about various apartments owned by Metcalf. It's a conversation that must continue as the bylaw is enforced. Now back to Tina for the wrap-up.
Thanks, Sally. And that's all the news for now. You can find more of our special reports on torontoobserver.ca. On behalf of all of us here at The Hour, thank you for listening. Good night.